Blog Talk Radio.
It's time to learn about the music industry from the inside out. Welcome to Hip Hop National Radio.
Hip Hop National Radio.
Yeah, y'all know what it is.
Get ready to hear today's newest stars of hip hop, rock, pop, R&B, gospel, and more.
That's it.
Welcome to Hip Hop National Radio. This is your boy Poetic, and tonight, it's going to be an awesome night right here on Hip Hop National. Tonight, we're going to be talking about the trends and changes of old school versus new school. But before we get too deep into the topic, let's go ahead and cover the show as we always do right here on Hip Hop National Radio. Lord, thank you for giving us this platform to express ourselves collectively as a community, to come together in unison of a business that we so desire to explore. Lord, let us not ignore who have given us the talents to pursue this gift. Let us understand that this is a gift, and if appropriated correctly, we can be blessed accordingly. I'm asking you to do that in Jesus' name as we pray going forward. Amen. Well, guys, as I said, tonight's going to be an awesome night. I'm going to open up my panel here in a minute. But we're talking about the trends of old school versus new school. Just to kind of guide it and get it on point a little bit, I just want to tell you, we're going to be talking about the different changes from 8-track tape to cassette tape, to CD tape, to 2-inch tape, to the fashion, clothing, all of the things that makes up an artist today versus back then. Some of those things we very much had in common. It's just that over time, it has transitioned with technology. Tonight, that's what we'll be talking about. On deck with me first, I have Ronnie from the Majors. Ronnie, if you would, please tell our audience who you are, what it is that you do. I'm also going to open up Frank Line, let you guys kind of, y'all can pan off with each other. Ronnie, you start first. Frank, then you
follow. Yeah, this is Ron Gathers. I'm the bass of the Majors, and I dress up in a real tough song called She's a Troublemaker, and I'm dressed up in drag, the blonde wig and all that, and you know, come out dancing. But it was a big change from back in the 50s, 60s to today's music, not artists, but I still hang with the best music of ever is the oldie but goodies, you know, because like I said, there were so many great artists. The singers and dancers back then, it's unbelievable, you know, like Flamingos, Mungos, the Five Keys, you know, Shep and the Limelight, so many, Little Anthony Pierce, they're still going strong. But, you know, Frank, you know, when we had our group was going, man, you know, we loved doing oldie but goodie shows. And, they still have them, but they don't have as many as back in the day. Yeah. We did one that out with Channel 12 with the Afro American Museum, and it was a great show. We had Hal Melvin, the Blue Notes, the Silhouettes, and a few other people. So it was a great show. You want to throw something in, Frank?
All right, Frank,
yeah.
Go ahead, throw us your perspective, Frank.
Yeah, you know, back in the 60s, I think the music was a little bit more relevant than it is today, you know. And back then it seemed like people was singing more songs that, you know, like with meaning to them, you know. When we did shows at the Apollo or the Uptown Theater, places like that, you would have a show and it'd be like maybe six acts on it. and you know, you have Flamingos, Drifters, Lil Sonny and the Intruders, you know, all in one show, you know. And it was a competition, but it was like a friendly competition, you know. Wasn't nothing, you know, too hard about it. And we just enjoyed, you know, like, we just loved singing, man. You know, I'm sorry, one thing that I can say about the groups of today, you know, with the hip-hop and things, they do take care of business more so than what we did, because, you know, back then we were singing just for the love of singing, and we wasn't taking care of the business part of it. So unless you went on a road trip or something, you know, you wasn't getting no money, because all the money was going to the record companies, you know.
So what you would say is it was just a lack of understanding.
Not knowing the business aspect.
Before we go, Ronnie, mm-hmm. Frank, I'm gonna go around the panel, try to bring in my rest of my people, and then we're gonna get into this. Michaela, welcome to Hip Hop National, and tell
Thank
our audience.
You for having me.
Give us your opening statement of tonight's topic, because I'm sure you've been exposed to a little bit of both from your era.
Yes, exactly. I'm not going to show my age, but let's just say I wouldn't be able to really speak on hip hop in the '60s from my own experience. But it's not just
hip hop. We're talking about music in general, how it changed.
In general, yeah.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah, definitely. Yeah, well, old school versus hip-hop, obviously, then compared to now, it's definitely different in many ways. I would say that for me, what most stands out for me is this generation now of people who are out don't seem to get the same respect from the past. You know, in, you know, eras before, genres before, which I don't think it was as big a deal back then, to my knowledge.
What do you mean they don't get the same respect?
Like, as far as, like, okay, like, just for what I know, like, with the rap, I know for a big deal, like, a lot of artists will say that other artists are biting their style. For example, Lil' Kim doesn't like Nicki Minaj. Well, obviously, Nicki Minaj is a... you know, a huge, iconic person right now as far as the music industry, but, I mean, she's not even getting that support from her peers who came before her, the pioneers who came before her who paved the way, you know what I mean? And that happens with a lot of the rappers where you see older guys getting into it with younger guys, almost like a battle and a competition. So with that in mind, I just think that that's a big difference as far as how the whole music industry and in general has evolved in people, because it doesn't seem like they're getting much of a support system, like it's all together, or they're being like brought up in a way, but more so it's a competitive thing and they're kind of like just doing the same cookie cutter stuff and using what works well in the past and creating new, you know, people to do the same thing. But that's just, I digress.
Okay.
All right. Rodolph?
Well, you know, I think she's got it twisted. The respect should be given to those that were the pioneers that opened the door. You know, the funny part about it is that, you know, the entertainers before, yeah, they did, they had a product. They had a song that played on the radio, a record, a 45 or an album, and it was straight. But when they performed for you, they showed you how they owned that song. You know, you'd hear a song on the radio for 3 minutes. You know, that was all the airtime that they had for, you know, music at the time when they played the records on the radio. And then you'd go see that artist, and they would take that song and twist that song. And the dynamics and the performance. See, the young people, they're getting away with murder. There's a few, and Michael Jackson, let's just say, when he did a performance, it brought back the old school level of entertaining. He owned those songs. He twisted those songs. Rappers get on stage now, they tell the DJ put it on. It's the same way you hear it on the radio. You got to bring that point of owning that song. Jay-Z, now Jay-Z, he gave props to the old school, and I got to say this one. We need to send out a rest in peace for Bobby Blue Bland. But Jay-Z sampled one of Bobby Blue Bland's songs on his Blueprint CD. You know, when young folks think that the elders that did it before them have to give them respect, you got it twisted. The young ones need to give respect to those elders because they were the pioneers. They're the ones that they learned the lessons about taking care of business because the elders told them the mistakes they made. And so they said, if you're going to be in this business, you need to learn these other factors because that's where we made our mistake. And so, you know, when you start to see the young people and they're pantomiming and what have you, and they're doing a little dance step and what have you. Remember, the pioneers didn't pantomime. They didn't have that electronics. They had to do a lot. Soul Train was one of the first ones I saw a lot of acts pantomime, but that was later on, you know. And so when you start talking about the pioneers and the elders, they had to put it out there to sell themselves. They couldn't bring it a short plate to you. They had to bring a full plate. Because, you see, it was a situation of starving or surviving, you know? And there was a pleasure in it because each group, they were like family label groups. And so it was a point of perpetuating the label and what they were doing in each other. You know, the Haterade, it didn't run like it runs now. And, you know, they paid the dues. I got to tip my hat to them because without them and their stories and telling us of the mistakes they made, the younger artists wouldn't know what to look for in the business. All right, you can have it back.
Wow. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. All right. We're going to go ahead, open up the door back to Frank, and I'm going to go back to Ronnie as well. You guys said something very interesting to me. You said that in the old school, you guys would, you know, you took care of your performances, a lot of, I guess, on-the-road activity and you know, showcases with your act, but you say you didn't take care of the business. You said the young people today in the new school, more or less, they kind of handle the business. I'll say that's some partly true and impartially true.
Okay.
A lot of that is
true, but yeah. I'm talking about, you know, like back in the day, When we went on bus tours, I can remember being on the bus tour with the Isley Brothers and Jackie Wilson and Sam Cooke and Clyde McFadden and Benny King and those kind of people. And, you know, it was like, you know, real singing to me. You know, everybody had a band or a guitar player or something. And, you know, you had to have your steps down and all that. And you really put on a show for the people. Now, when I see the groups today, there might be a few out there that I really, you know, like, enjoy. But for the most part, you know, like, they ain't doing nothing at all, really, compared to back then. You know, it just, you know, seem like they're just taking the money and running, which ain't a bad idea.
So you think today in the new school is more about monetary gain than it is about that craft of the art itself, being able to express,
you know, like,
the musical talent and to the utmost of what your delivery could bring and heighten the heighten of the entertainment side of things. You're saying that it's more a monetary thing.
Yeah, I think so. How about you, Ryan? Think so?
Yeah, well, see, back in the old days when we were singing, like you said, we were family. All the groups, we didn't have no jealousy or envy. Everybody enjoyed everybody that they came in contact that they worked with in the business. It was, like I said, we were about the music and the love of the audience. You know, we wanted to perform and make our fans happy, and that made us happy. And like I said, we wasn't no jealousy at all. I mean, I didn't meet nobody in the business back in them days that was envy, that had something bad to say about another group or another singer. We didn't go that way, you know, because, like I said, everybody just enjoyed their craft and what they were doing, you know. And like I said, the money part was all right. We wanted money, but we wanted to entertain more so than you know, put on the show. Like you said, the steps and all that, the routine, and we did this all ourselves. You know, we rehearsed constantly, over and over again, with the vocal and the dance and the routine part. And we wanted to get it perfect, so when we stepped on, like I said, the Apollo or the Uptown or the Howard Theater or the Regal or the Royal, you know, we wanted to perform and make the show entertaining, you know, as well as for the audience and for ourselves. And like I said, we that's why we were so more into the music and entertaining. That's why we didn't never think about the business part, because we were having fun, you know what I mean, and enjoyment. And like I said, when we came together, like you know, on a road trip, like you said, like 13 190s and whatnot, one all of us on one bus, like you said, he named Billy King, all of them, like it was, yeah, we were all together. You know, it was, and even though they were the big name stars, they didn't treat us any less. You know, I mean, they wouldn't show off and none of that. You know, they were regular guys. They treated us just like we were. You know, and we were stars too. So it's a big difference now. Like I said, like it's a shame. I looked at a Biggie and Tupac, how that thing went down like that. That's crazy, you know. We weren't thinking of nothing like that, man. You know, if you were making it, we were happy that you were making it. You know what I mean? If you were being successful in your craft, in your business, we were rooting for you. You know, we weren't jealous or envy or nothing like that. So we figured our time would come, you know, because if we keep up what we're doing and do it well, then you know, we'd be successful too. That's how it went back in the day. Okay?
All right, well, that yes, you guys are talking about the people, the pioneers in the old days, and you're saying how you guys used to get all along and stuff, and it was really like a big family. Do you guys think that today, I guess, the pioneers and the old guys, the legendary people, the people who paved the way, should they be more, I guess, have open arms to bring up people, to bring up younger artists and really try
to
mold them?
Oh, yeah, definitely. You pass it along. You definitely do that. That's the whole point. That's the whole purpose of entertaining.
Of course.
If you can help, if you can lift somebody up and help them get up and get better, oh yeah, it's a great, great honor to do that. It's a great gratifying feeling, you know, to help somebody in the business.
Of course. But lately, what I'm saying is, like, with different, even in different genres of music and different aspects of different things, it seems like it's more so old school versus new school, like a competition more so than, you know, the younger guys being brought up and being mentored or what have you, to bring them up to be the type of artist or whatever it is that they do, their craft, to be the best that they can be. It's more so, okay, I was more relevant when I was in this era, I was doing this, or, you know, you're biting my style, or, you know, it's more, a lot more jealousy. What can we, as people, as artists and what have you, producers, whatever you are, how can we help change that so that it can go in the right direction where we are all together helping each other and working together?
Don't be envious and greedy. That's what I'm saying. You know, don't step on somebody or put anybody down so you can get, because you can step up. You don't do that. I mean, it's going to be a turmoil, because it's all going in the wrong direction. You have to share with one another. You have to care about each other. you know, and you got to love the respect of the music and the performance. You know, you all that goes hand in hand. You know, you can't be jealous or envy of nobody else. That you think they're acting better than your act, or you should be where they should be, and all that. All that shouldn't even been put into in your mind or your heart. Because if it's there, then there's always going to be strife in the business. And like I said, us old timers from the back in the day, we still think the same back in the 50s and 60s today, you know. And like I said, mm-hmm. Yeah, when I met Tupac and Biggie, I was so sad, man, to see that go down like that. I mean, two mm-hmm. great artists, you know, I mean, up top of the game. I mean, they were the epitome of performing, and they both died so young, you know, because of envy and jealousy, and the people behind them that wanted to push them into that, man. I don't know who it was or what their names are, but they were wrong for doing that, to put them two at each other, because they were friends. They mm-hmm. hung out together. They met, they performed together. And then I'm thinking there's people that were in the background that wanted the more money or knock one out to the other. They can take control of the other one. You know, that's what I got out of it, you know, why they died, you know. It wasn't mm-hmm. them, because they were both good at what they did. It was the people in the background that caused all that to happen, their deaths.
Yeah, of course.
We don't have that. We don't play with that.
And you got a lot of young guys out here today that's producing things and you know, like making good music, but you know, y'all have to be in touch with each other, you know. That's what I see.
You got to get along. You definitely have to get along, and there's
right.
no room for jealousy or envy in the music business. Yeah, because music is beautiful. It's sweet. It's enjoy. It's full to entertain. It's about entertaining the masses and whatnot.
And it's enough to go around for everybody.
Right. It's the whole point, you know. And if you got envy and jealousy in your heart, I mean, it's gonna be in your music. I mean, you know, the music ain't gonna be right, even. You know. It may sound right, it may sell, but it ain't right, you know, because the artists ain't right if they're thinking like that, if they're
yeah.
treating the other people like that. You know, this is a beautiful business, and like I said, it's got to be shared. And like I said, anything that I can do right now, and frankly, I know it's still the same way, anything that we can do to contribute to the day of youth and the music industry, we'd be glad to. You know, you can call me, have my number anytime, I'll give the number up. They call me anytime and ask for advice and whatnot, and I'll be glad to share it.
Don't give your number over the air. They call here
no,
and they get to you. Okay.
Yeah, I'm saying to you. Yeah, but you know
okay.
you know how to do.
Okay.
Yeah, sure. I want you because it needs to be shared. You know, sharing is the whole thing, man. Love. You got to have love for one another.
Right. Raw Dog. So I heard what you were saying in response into, you know, the pioneers, and I totally agree with you that the younger people should be paying their dues and respect to the older guys who paved the way. But in what we're talking about in this situation, how do you feel about what the older people, how they are treating the younger people after them? Do you think that there is an issue in that, or it's, you know?
Well, the funny part about it, this industry, you got to pay your dues. And that's what a lot of the young folks aren't understanding, because I hate to say it, but the fact of the matter is there are a few talented rappers, and then there are so-so. With the electronics today, there's a lot of trickery going on. And the older school hears the trickery and understands that, you know, it can be done, and that this is how some of them are, the newer rap artists or hip-hop artists are making themselves known. And if you've been in the industry and you've played music and what have you, you know the difference between a true talented individual and the point of someone that is propelled to stardom because of an oddity. And when I say an oddity, you know, something different, but yet if you have the ear, you realize that the talent is not there. And when we speak of that, we're talking about like one-hit wonders. You know, you hear it and you go, whoa. And then you try to figure out, well, okay, why are they going up in the charts like they are? And then you realize they're an oddity. That's the reason for that surge in fame for them, you know. And then you then watch the charts as time goes on and you realize they had no lasting ability as an artist, you know. Now, I didn't say they didn't invest their money right. And
hello? Hello?
Raw Dog, you still there? Raw Dog, we lose you? Okay, I think we lost connection with Raw Dog, but I still got Frank and Ronnie and Poetic, right?
Yeah. Well, I heard what he was saying, but yeah, it's true, but still in awe, like I said, as an old head, you know, back in the day, like I said, my love for music, for the entertainment world will never change. As long as I got breath from my body. And I say that to the young artists today that's coming up with all the electronics and all that and whatnot, if they can make it like that, good. But I'm saying, but if they got talent, it's going to show. It's going to come out and whatnot. Like you said, he had a point. You'll know who's good and who's bad and who's not good, okay? But, like, if you think about it, like all the hip-hop songs that are coming out, they're using all the background music groups back from the day, back in our day, you know, that propelled them to hits and whatnot.
Not a sampling.
All the things that we did.
Exactly. Go ahead.
Frank, you want to say something?
Yeah, it seems as though, you know, like the artists of the day, they can't come up with something
original.
New. You know, something original. You know, I was watching something. The guy was named Miguel or somebody, you know. He trying to start a new sound. But when I looked at him, I said, well, he's performing like Jackie Wilson or somebody back in the day doing the splits and all that, you know. He was entertaining, you know. And that's what's missing in today's music, you know. Mm-hmm. When we were singing, you know, we had live bands, you know, wasn't no, when you listen to some of those old 33s and 45s, you hear live music. Ain't no one guy playing six instruments, you know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely. What do you guys think about as far as old school versus new school? I know earlier Poetic had mentioned, you know, A-tracks and CDs and cassettes, you know, all those different ways that we listen to music that have evolved over the years. With the technology today, you know, with iTunes, being able to download music and listen to music on your phone, Pandora, all those things, do you think that is something that's a positive or a negative?
Well, it's more positive. It's good for the day because, like you say, technology changed. We didn't have that back then. We didn't have DVDs and all that. We didn't have MTV videos and all that. You know, when they show us, they show us live. You know, we didn't have nothing to promote our records like that. You know, we did it. Everything was just on stage and whatnot. And every now and then we did Dick Clark show and one like that, but that's about the only thing, you know. That and Soul Train. Soul Train came much later than from the 50s, 60s, so, you know, we didn't have none of that. And now they got all this now. And that's the big difference, why they're selling everything, like they're selling, they have the stadium audiences like they have, the big crowds. in stadiums and all that because they got they exposed more. We didn't have the exposure. They
right.
I really like all this new technology that they got going right now, you know, because, I mean, after all, you know, it's 2013, you understand?
Yeah.
It's not 1960 no more, so things have to advance, you know.
Right. And like
that's
I said,
awesome that you feel that, you know, we shouldn't stay in one place because you're right. It's
right,
absolute.
Right.
That's absolute. We have to advance. Things must mature,
right.
And as we're maturing,
I agree with
as
that.
as an audience, as we're maturing as musicians, we should also transcend and give back to the younger community so that they can better the game. Because don't get me wrong. This is what we're in. We're in an intellectual property stage where you can really, really change your whole dynamics. Years ago, the record companies actually took control because they knew they were exposed to the fact that they could actually take your song, give you a certain percentage of that song, and make you very happy. At the same time, sell all these CDs in your name,
right.
Sell all
yeah.
these properties in your name.
Right. Yeah.
Whereas
and
today,
it's still going on.
It's still going on, but the paradigm is shifting, and we have to take
yeah.
a look at that. When we come back, we'll be back in just a moment. When we get back, we're going to talk about. We still want to stay on this tape, the transition between tape 8-track going into from those stages and how today. How we can produce CDs at a minimum of cost what we used to do for like we went from tape to ADAT, all of that stuff. Those properties cost a lot of money. Whereas
yeah.
today, we got control of it just simply through our computers today, and we can even burn CDs through our computer. Isn't that amazing? We'll be back in just a moment.
Okay.
We'll be back in just a moment. You're listening to Hip Hop National Radio. We'll be back in just a moment. Y'all stay with us.
It's time to play. You're ready to go. Ready to go. Radio promo right here on Hip Hop National Radio. That's right. Hip Hop National Radio will help you get the word out about your business, your music, or music products. Starting as low as $15 a spot. We aim to meet your advertising needs. We do viral marketing, website development, website hosting, internet audio presentation, voiceover, professional beat production, publicity, radio and record promotion, consulting, corporate identity, event planning and promoting, printing, graphic design, CD pressing and duplication, voice on hold, radio commercial production, TV commercial production, video production, call conversion, contracts and more. For more details, log on now to www.hiphopnationalradio.com or call 877-580-8555. That's 877-580-8555.
It's a new year. Time to upgrade your car, truck, or SUV with the very best audio, video, and security equipment. It's time to...
Hey everybody, this is Dino Madaloni of the Ask Dino Show. I love hanging out with the great people of Hip Hop National Radio. Hostess Lady Di, CEO of Hip Hop Magazine Myra Morris, and producer extraordinaire Poetic. I love the show, I call in all the time, it's very cool. Now please be sure to tune into my television internet show called The Ask Dino Show. It's a music entertainment talk show all about the music industry with special guest artists performing and answering all your questions. Our show is based on Time Warner, but you can see The Ask Dino Show 24/7 on YouTube and Facebook. Just type in Ask Dino Show. That's Ask Dino Show. This is Dino Madaloni, The Ask Dino Show, inviting all of you to join us. Back to you, Poetic, and the hostess with the mostest.
Hip Hop National Radio presents KO with their smash single, Cry Wolf, Cry Wolf. Photoshop. Original. Cry Wolf, Mean Girls, Photoshop, Original, all hot songs from KO. To hear more from KO, that's K-A-Y-O, visit online at KOblowkisses.com. It's a one-stop shop to get all the hits and info from KO. KO, Cry Wolf, a hip-hop national radio exclusive.
Industry professionals, have you been looking for an outlet to get your music heard? Hip Hop National Radio and HipHopNational.com, your digital service provider to get the best music first. Pop, rock, jazz, R&B, gospel, and etc. All genres of music with a hip-hop twist. This is your chance to get it first and stay on top of the competition. HipHopNational.com is for you. Log on now.
This station is a member of BOB, Band of Online Broadcasters, powered by Cloud Radio.
All right, welcome back to Hip Hop National. Tonight we'll talk about the trends and the changes of old school versus new school music. And before we went to the break, we was talking about the 8-track from the ADAT to the A-track, the recording stages versus the recording stages we have now. And, yes, we have a few of our guests. I want to bring them in. We got Palmetto. Palmetto, they just came in. Palmetto, what's your opening statement for tonight's topic? They actually was there earlier, just that we were so engaged deeply into the topic, I couldn't bring them in then. So go ahead, Palmetto.
Hey, what's going on? It's Palmetto Star, the Ratchet Revolutionary, man. You know, I was listening to it, and it seems like an age-old debate that we constantly have, you know, new school versus old school, old school versus new school. The old guys saying that the older generation, the more mature people, you know what I'm saying? They're saying that, you know, the artistry is different, you know, that people aren't doing the same thing. But let me just say this, that we've always had this debate, whether it be, you know, they were having this debate in the 60s. They were having this debate with old school and new school artists back then, you know, with classic and contemporary artists. Let me just put it like that, classic and contemporary artists. They've always had that debate. You know, people that grew up in the generation of the 90s, or, you know, they're like, well, you know, the hip-hop is not like it used to be back, you know, back in the days that it is now. But I beg to differ, because it's just changed forms. You know, you still have the people dancing, you know what I'm saying? It seems like that's even coming back. I know it died at one point, and it seemed like the whole dancing thing at least came back for a while. It's kind of going back in the background now. But, you know, you had that. Now, one thing that has changed is the instrumentation. The instruments have changed. You know, and I don't think that's all a bad thing, because it used to be like you had to get a band with, you know, you had the guitarist, the bassist, the drummer, and all that stuff, and everybody got to show off their musical skills, and that is great. But with the technology of today, you could still implement those same sounds and be able to do that, you know, initially, I mean, really by yourself, you know, and I think it's empowering to the artist to be able to do that. And you know, it doesn't get him, you know, now he doesn't have to have like a full band to go on stage and do all this and all that. You know, I think it's very empowering, you know, the technology that we have today, to be able to duplicate those sounds and be able to use that. And you do see the artists of today still bringing those, you know, they still bring in the live instrumentation, you know what I'm saying? Depends on what sort of echelon of artists they are. If they are a higher echelon of artists, they recognize that that live instrumentation is needed. So, you know, I think this is a debate that we always had. And, you know, you know, people are talking about, you know, like the old, like the people of the 90s and the 80s of hip hop. They're talking about, you know, now the music is so crass now, and, you know, people are twerking and stuff like that. But y'all were listening to Luke and all that stuff. Like, what happened then? You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, to me, it's just, you know, it's a good debate, but it's an age-old debate that will never end as long as time is here, and as long as there's older and younger people, there's going to be this discrepancy. And I think that we need to build a bridge instead of building a wall with newer and older artists.
That was very nicely said. I definitely agree with you, Palmetto. You made some really good points, especially with the sampling, with the live instruments and stuff like that. That's a way that they are, that they could be, you know, showing respect and paying dues to people before them, and to look at it and from that point of view is really good. Let's go to Yusuf and see what your thoughts are on this topic, and what do you, how you feel about the old school versus the new school.
Hey, how you doing, my brothers and sisters? I was first of all, I want to say, you know, I'm in my 50s, so I don't want to say how old I am, but anyway, but music is for us as a people. And I might look at it totally different from what a lot of other people have been looking at it. But I'm looking at it as music for us as a people was like a political statement. I mean, because we were, as a people, we were going through so many things or so many struggles, and that reflected in our music. Brooke Benton, Rainy Night in Georgia. Rain is symbolic with hard times. Sam Cooke, I Was Born by the River. You know, that to me, that's like a national anthem. You know, so the music just reflected the spirit and the time that we as a people, we were going through. And James Brown, I'm saying loud, I'm black and I'm proud. In other words, he was saying, I was proud to be black, you know. I don't want to be white. I don't want to be this or that. I'm proud. I'm black and I'm proud. So that's why that made it so big. Then it came out with the afros. We started wearing the afros. We wasn't ashamed of our nappy head. You know, we wore afros. Everything was natural. But now today, you know, I think the music from the old school to the new school is that a lot of times that the we have sold out in the sense that we have been bought because of the money. Now we're doing it for the money. A lot of artists are doing it for the money, and we all need money, don't get me wrong. But what I'm saying is that these people back then, a lot of them, they had a message, and the message was in the music. And so the conqueror, to what they did to stop that was they had to get over the business and kind of direct what was being said or what was being played. And so what I'm saying is, as a people, I think we kind of forgot, and we kind of think that we have arrived, but we have not arrived yet. We still... The struggle is still ongoing, and until we transmit that and let our younger generation understand that the struggle is still continuing, you know, it's just that we have been, a lot of us have been co-opted with the money, and so that's where, I think that's where we're at right now. You with me?
Great. Thank you for that. Yeah, definitely. I definitely agree with you as far as some of those points as well, because, I mean, this topic is just so, the like what was Palmetto was saying earlier, where it's just, it's so much you can go back and forth. It's always going to, you know, it's a discussion that's going to always go on and on. Let's go to Raw Dog, and he can give us some thoughts on what has been said now. If you have anything you would like to add, Raw Dog.
Well, you know, they each one has made a good point, you know, and it is a debate that's going to go on forever. And, you know, I thank God for the new technology, because it now gives a chance for the music to evolve even more. You know, I can remember when the only way you could have a recording was going in a studio that was a tape studio, and the cost was just extraordinary. Now, you know, I was able to build a studio and buy every little thing that the bigger studios had for a lesser cost. and I've been able to experiment. You know, I'm of the older set, so when the gentleman said 50, a tear came to my eye because I wish I was back then. But you know, the whole thing about it is that the younger generation, as far as the musical evolution, they have a chance to bring it forward. Don't forget about the ones that came before you, the Styles, Coltrane. You know, don't forget about, you know, the George Bensons. Don't forget about, you know, all of those people, you know, the Wes Montgomerys in their style and their play. You know, so that with the new electronics that you have, that you can take it to a higher level. You know, I think that in the hip-hop world, I think what has happened is it's been polluted by a lot of wannabes. And I'm not saying that there isn't talent out there, but I'm saying that's one of the easiest products to produce. And you know, so you're getting all these people that are having products to sell or wanting you to hear, and so it's not that they can be judged like the old artists before, making sure they had the talent, making sure that the content and the lyrics were appealing. You know, now they can just do it at home and call it a product. And you know, even on Hip Hop National, we've gotten some things in that we've been shocked of the content, and how could they expect to play this for the public? You know, some of the things that they talk about, you know, the guys would talk about in the locker room, not over the radio waves. So, you know, I think that's the difference. You don't get R&B with people singing. You don't get a whole barrel full like you get of hip-hop, because it takes some talent that they have worked on to be a singer. You know, and then there's, well, you've watched American Idol. You've seen those that thought they could sing, and it turns out that, hey, they couldn't. But, I mean, in producing a product, I think they either realize later on by hearing themselves as singers that they're just not, it's just not right, you know, and that their talent they need to work on. Whereas hip-hop artists, it's just like talking, like we're talking right now, you know. they put it on a product, and, you know, and they call that a production. Well, okay, it is, but, you know, they're not hitting the standards of talented. I mean, they might be, you know, be able to write, they might, you know, but it's just, to an extent, you're having so many flood the market that the market is just kind of crazy at this point. I mean, you've got so many.
Definitely. Raw Dog, it's interesting that you were saying how it's so easy with hip-hop that you can just make these records and you can really just produce anything. And that's what a lot of people were saying about a lot of the boy bands and the pop artists, you know, how it's just so cookie-cutter with the five. Remember when it was like Backstreet Boys and NSYNC and stuff like that? They would just produce the same, you know, formula of groups or types of artists, Britney Spears, where they don't really have the same vocal talent as somebody else who could really actually sing and stuff. So, you know, that was an interesting point that you had made that really brings around to the same thing, even in a different genre of music and, you know, ongoing from back then to now. I think we have Gwen on the line, our valued listener. I do want to go to him and see his thoughts on tonight. We love when he calls in. So, Gwen, are you with us?
Quinn. I'm with you 100%.
Oh, okay, great. How you doing tonight?
I'm calling from a small town called Tarrant County.
Okay.
Right here in Tarrant.
All right, great.
Well, my topic on tonight is I like old school more than I like new school, you know what I'm saying? Because now some of the new school is all right, but, you know, I prefer the old school, you know what I'm saying? Because most of the rappers that now in the industry is not giving no kind of message or no kind of image. You know what I mean? Your talent is your image. You know what I mean? And they're not coming out there like they supposed to come out. You know what I'm saying? And now it looks like people just, you know, throwing things together. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know what I mean? You know, when you're working on a song, you don't just do it together. You know what I mean? You do a lot of thinking. You know, do a lot of thinking before you do all that, you know, before you throw the song, you know, before you write a song. You know, I mean, now it just looks like they just throw the songs together now. You know what I'm saying? I mean, music is going to be here forever, but we want some music that you can listen to, and it's going to be, you know, like old music. You know what I'm saying? I say like Ronald Isley, you know what I'm saying, the Isley Brothers. You know what I'm saying? They old. But their hits still sound good today. You know what I'm saying? This is like gospel. A lot of people doing gospel, like inspiration gospel, like, you know what I'm saying, Kirk Franklin, Yolanda Adams, and I don't understand. They don't have no understanding in gospel. But the gospel that the people that made gospel was like, my favorite group was Lee Williams in the Spiritual QC, the Care Spiritual. Those were the ones that really made gospel. You know what I mean? Those were the ones that made gospel what it was. You know, it's no meaning in it. You know what I'm saying? Some of the old school, some of the new school got meaning and some of it don't, you know? We want music that gonna last forever. You know what I'm saying? We want music that gonna make hits, you know?
Of course. Yeah, that's definitely true for today as far as how the music is getting watered down as far as substance, and it's not the same content that I guess people are used to back then. And with that being said, do you think that because of, you know, now the music industry, everyone talks about how much it's such a business and, you know, how artists, you know, everything is really just to make money, and that's really what they focus on more so than the actual product of what they're actually selling. Do you think that's because now artists don't make as much money as they used to as far as with just album sales alone, so now they're focused on more business side things, like I guess concerts and those type of things, and branching off, like, you know, artists are now doing their own things, being entrepreneurs with, you know, creating liquors and creating bars and restaurants and clothing lines and, you know, all these different things. They're so I guess spread out doing so many other things, acting and all these other gigs. How can they really create good music that has good content that is, you know, that something that somebody back then put 110% in, and now they're only being able to put in 10%. I think that that's something that we should take into consideration as far as today, new school versus old school. Let's go to Ronnie and see if Ronnie, do you have any thoughts on that?
Yes, I do. If the technology today, like I said, is great. If you took oldie groups like my group and other groups from back in the 50s and 60s and put them on DVDs and CDs like you got today and whatnot, and put them out there, definitely all these new young artists would see what the talent that we had, the love we had in our talent, the real talent was about, with the love going on and it was put into it, the love that was put into it so the talent to show. The steps and the harmony and everything, and like you said, like Frank said, the words, the meaning that meant something. Every song we sang that we created was to get a message out to those and to let other people know that they we were feeling the same thing that they were feeling. You know, we were just as normal as they are and whatnot. That's why some of the old songs sell. Back in the day, so good, because you had a message, like you said, and it was for everybody. It wasn't for one person to listen to it; it was for the whole world. You know what I mean? And like I said, if we had the technology back then like now that you got now, if you put us back out here now, if it's this new technology, trust me, it'd show just as many and as more at the hip hop and the new artists of today. That's my thought of it.
I agree with you, Ronnie. That is an excellent point, because the music was so good then, and if they had the platform that we do today to actually be able to get that music out as quick and as efficiently, it's limitless what could have really happened back then if they had those memes. You have Raw Dog, you have something?
Yeah, but see what he, you know, and I heard what he was saying. The technology that we have now. See, you have to realize that it was primitive. It was primitive. Microphones were primitive. Sound systems were primitive. The technology that we possess now, the auto-tune, the harmonizers, the reverb, the doubler in the voice and what have you, all these things that they have now, even with the mixing board that they have for the whole band to be mixed as you're sitting there and listening to it. Those things were things that we dreamed about. You know, it was something that each one of us in performing, we had to adjust and get it acoustically correct for the new place that we were going. You know, it wasn't as though we had sound men. You know, it was we were going under the standard system, and we had to figure it out as we went on, because there would be feedback from the microphones and the amplifiers and what have you that we had to encounter and correct so that the performance would be perfect for the audience. And, you know, when you start talking about the newer artists, you know, let's not get it twisted. It's still the same struggle for them as it was for the pioneers. You know, the money, okay, we're living in a different era, so things are costing more. To diversify and invest your money so that you have something to fall back on, because you mentioned the different things that they were putting their money into. You know, that's just because of the intelligence and the stories that they've heard about artists that have just lived to be an artist and didn't invest their money and thought it was going to go on forever. You know, you got to have some place to put your money. And see, the smarter ones are able to see the light and say, hey, what if, you know, no longer are they buying my merchandise, you know, like a Justin Bieber. How long is his success going to go on? You know, so you start to sit back and you have to diversify. You have to look to that rainy day or that day when they don't give you another contract with the label. You know, so I will give the younger folks, not all of them, but I hope the majority of them, the intelligence to have learned from the things they've heard of that have happened to different artists in the past, and that, you know, I think that, you know, it was taught that, you know, hey, don't put all your eggs in one basket, you know, so that in case something happens or something goes wrong, that you have that fallback on, you know. But with the electronics today, hands down, those that were performing, the elders, it would be a totally different world if they would have had that. I mean, they had the talent, but to enhance that talent, man, you know, just to imagine that, and Otis Redding, you know, you think about him and you go, wow. What if he had the new technology? You know, the T-Pain, where he could have done something different. What about Marvin Gaye? You know, if he'd have had that technology.
But you know something, Rodolfo, what I hear in that? Those guys there, and I'm not being funny, those guys there, yeah, if they had that technology, they must be, they would be serious fire because they was, I mean, in my opinion, as recording artists.
No, and you know what? You're right. You're right. Yeah. But see, the younger generation didn't get a chance to experience them live.
They'll blow somebody's mind.
Oh,
anyway,
yeah.
We're at the top of the hour. We're getting ready to go to a quick break. As we come back, we'll be talking about that. But I do want to isolate a moment of silence just for a second before we go into that break for Bobby Blue Bland. Rodo, you brought it up earlier. The man passed away. Let's give a few seconds of silence and say we hope this man pass on to the right place and that God will take care of him. In Jesus' name, I say that. Boom. Silence. All right. You're listening to Hip Hop National Radio. We'll be back in just a moment. Y'all stay with us. We'll be back. We're talking about the trends and changes of old school versus new school music. We'll be back in just a moment.
Forever Memory Blankets, the place where you can turn your photo into a masterpiece. If you want to live like the stars, then here's your key. These are one-of-a-kind creations. Our portfolio includes Dwayne Wade, Music, Slim Thug, Teresa Budon, Bun B, and so much more. All you have to do is log on to www.fmblankets.com. That's www.fmblankets.com. Or you can call 214-403-1524. That number again is 214-403-1524. And tell them Hip Hop National Radio told you to give them a call.
You've got 5 minutes? I've got That Celebrity Interview. Hi, I'm Valder Beebe, host of The Valder Beebe Show. Join me daily for my new brand, That Celebrity Interview. I get the opportunity to chat with the world's most fascinating people. I interview actors and directors and entertainers, celebrities, and everyday people on important topics and issues and life-changing causes. My interviews are authentic, revealing, and personal with my guests, who are in a 21st century mode. They're either in studio, by phone, satellite, or in exotic locations. I've interviewed people in Istanbul, Israel, London, all across the globe. Tune in daily to That Celebrity Interview. Go to valderbbshow.com for broadcast locations of That Celebrity Interview. I'll see you there.
Gospel, hip-hop, pop, R&B, calling all genres of music. Hip Hop National Radio is ready to give you the chance of a lifetime with our Flyers on Fire Street Connect campaign. Hip Hop National Radio, in conjunction with Poetic Inc., is gearing up for a promotional campaign that will sweep the nation. Flyers on Fire Street Connect campaign. Yes, Hip Hop National is taking your music to the streets in all the major cities across America. Wait, there's more. Flyers on Fire campaign will go viral as well, attacking all the major social networks, Twitter, MySpace, Facebook, and more. The Flyers on Fire campaign is designed for you, the artist, to hit many major markets to promote your music at the fraction of the cost. Hip Hop National Radio is all about teaching you how to take your music from the studio to the bank. Our mission is to assist you in spreading the good news about your music while making a profit. Get in now. Log on to HipHopNationalRadio.com. Remember, promotions are the key to making your project a success. Hip Hop National Radio has the network to take your project to the next level. Our packages start at $85. Call 954-461-3398. That's 954-461-3398 for more details.
All right. You're listening to Hip Hop National. Do you guys hear me?
Yep.
You listen to Hip Hop National. Just before we went to the break, we were talking
about talking to you.
I don't know, because it kind of throws me off. Michaela, do you hear us? And don't hear Michaela. Okay. Anyway, let's go transvene. Before we went to the break, Rodolph, we were talking about Billy Blue Bland. Remember?
Well, yeah, we were talking about
Bobby Blue Bland. Then you mentioned something about sampling.
Yeah.
You mentioned something about
sampling.
And
Jay-Z sampled a part of Bobby Blue Bland on his Blueprint CD. And he acknowledged that he did that, you know. And from what I understand, and I'm going to say this to you, I own a sampler. I've sampled you, Poetic, and I'm going to say this to you, great invention. Yeah, you know, the funniest part about it is that in the day, I used to wonder how that in certain music that was being played by different groups, you know, you had the Counts, you had the Gap Band, you had Isley Brothers, you know, and there were certain parts of the music that you wanted to be able to take and loop it and work with it because it stood out. It was great. And I always wondered how to capture that, but there was no mechanism to do that. And, you know, I'm going to say that's why, you know, I think us of the older school say the electronics today, if we would have even had a chance. You know, and I think the funny part is if you go to a music store, you might see a lot of elders walking around in the music store, like, hey, I won't say the stores, but when they have the electronic equipment and what have you there, we're actually going in and having fun seeing what the new stuff can do. And, you know, when I built the studio, the sampler was one of the requirements. And I'm going to say this to you. You know, the older artists will never die. I remember someone sampled Lenny Williams. I think that was Kanye. Okay, Chaka Khan got sampled by Kanye, you know. Marvin Gaye's been sampled. James Brown's been sampled. You know, I think this is to keep the elders with us. You know, it's funny because a lot of music that I've introduced my son to, his generation has never heard. But, you know, when I open the door and he takes the time to hear it, and we've sampled some and what have you, I'm telling tricks now, it changes how his generation seems to embrace it. You know, they'll go, oh, where did that come from? Who played that? Who was with you on that, you know? And, we talk about some of those, like a Curtis Mayfield. True genius. I mean, the man was a true genius, you know, if he would have lived to that time, you know, or Teddy Pendergrass, you know, in his prime, or Harold Melvin's group. I mean, when you start to think about the talent that was there, and now it seems like the younger generation, there are a few that are going through the point of educating themselves and learning how to be a musician, to be, you know, a true artist, but they're skipping the steps. One, it's a pleasure. Whether you sell one CD or not, I understand, you know, you're trying to make it a business and an income, but you've got to also realize you've got to pay those dues, you know, and nothing, you're going to have to work a real job someday in your life. I mean, unless you're one of the real lucky individuals, it's to be able to do, you must love what you're doing, you know, especially when it comes to entertaining and the arts. It's got to be a love. It's just not something that you know, you're going to try to use. It's got to be something that, you know, God put you on earth and it's inside of you, and there's nothing that's going to keep you away from doing that when you get off from work, you know? I mean, or, you know, whether you ever become a star, it's something that's going to be around your household that they're going to know that is a love of yours, you know? So I'll turn it back to someone else and see what they have to say.
Thanks for that, Raw Dog. Yeah, the samples, I mean, that's endless, that, the list of how many people from back then that they've made. Well, you see the same people over and over again, with the top people that you see that get sampled today, the Honey Dippers, Sly and the Family Stone, James Brown is a very, I think James Brown might be, I think he is the number one most sampled person today. But just that's an interesting point that you were making about how they keep, that keeps them alive, and that's a way that they're, you know, still around in today's music and genre. Which is interesting that you pointed that out. I wanted to also go back to Frank and get his thoughts on the topic, because I haven't heard from him in a while. Frank, are you still with us?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Hey.
But, the guy right before me, he had some good conversation. But I just can't understand why you have to sample. How come the younger generation of today can't come up with their own music, something that'll last, you know, like forever and ever and ever? You know, we listen to, you know, you go back to old school and you got records that, you know, they still playing in today's time that were made back in the 60s, you know, back in the day. I just can't understand, with so much talent out here, why they can't come up, you know, why the younger generation can't come up with something that's everlasting, you know what I mean? That baffles me.
That's
one group that I know of that can kind of do that, but that's like a self-promotion for Frank and Hatch, you know? They seem to have some real good music that's on time. In today's time, you know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely, of course. Yeah, well, who's to say, maybe, you know, 10, 20 years from now, some of the artists from today will be getting their music sampled, and, you know, later on, and, you know, stuff like that.
I just wish I would just come up with a song, you know, like it's summertime now. And every summer back in the day, it would be a song. Maybe it was the Isleys or somebody would come up with a song. And that song would last all summer long. You know, you'd go in clubs and bars and places, and they'd be playing that same record over and over and over again. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I know exactly what you mean. And you're right. We do need that, you know, that type of authenticity in the music today. I want to go back to Poetic. I know he's still with us. Poetic, your thoughts, please bless us with them.
I'm right here. I was listening to Frank, and Frank said, "Hey, I wish they come up with something creative." I too, Frank, I can second that emotion, but at the same time, I have to say something what Raw Dog said. In a sense, it's about keeping it. Also, keep the old school music alive by being able to sample. See, I don't think God allow us to create something that is useless. And sampling comes into play in the musical era, where we are able to actually take a old sound from back in the days, or a sample of a cry, all kinds of sounds, and reincorporate it into today's music. Don't get me wrong, the cycle of music has always been recreated. They just figured out a way to create to sample the music of sound.
Yeah.
And transcend. But Frank, would you feel any different if they took the majors and sampled it on the track, and all of a sudden you say, "Hey, that's our track." and you
own.
Oh,
they doing that. They doing you, that. I hear my record all
yeah,
the time.
Yeah, but what I'm saying, but do you own the masters?
Oh, no. You got to own the masters.
See, if you own the masters, which, we, like you was talking about earlier on the business side of things, if you own
well,
the
you know,
masters
you,
of that project, boom, that's just like reawakening your own finances all over again.
Yeah, I know what you're saying. But, you know, they have something called artist rights. You still, you know, every time your record gets played on the radio or somewhere, you know, you get
a royalty.
You know.
Yeah, you get a royalty.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I mean, that's the thing. If you had owned the masters, that's the difference between then and now. Is we own the masters. That's
yeah,
what you get
and
paid.
That's what's great about it. That's what's great about today's times. You know what I was saying a little earlier, how the, you know, the younger generation, especially the rappers, own their own music. You know, they do. I think they got everything but distribution, right?
Mm-hmm.
You get distribution,
yeah.
Then you know it'd be full. They have everything, you know.
All right, let me kick it to one of these guys somewhere else. Let him take the floor. David, you with me?
Yes, sir. I'm still here,
David,
brother.
David, where you calling in from?
I'm calling in from Houston, Texas, man. And,
Houston, Texas.
You know,
okay.
Firsthand.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what's your thought?
I would just also like to...
What's your
yeah,
thoughts
I,
on
Yeah, I would
Sam?
Just like to say... everything that's been contributed tonight has been positive. And I've enjoyed it. For the most part, I would just, from what I'm gathering from all of our thoughts, from both business perspective and musical perspective, is that good music never dies. You know. And with that being said, I'd like to pay homage to Brother Ronnie and Big Brother Frank Trout Sr., you know, of the majors, because it was the majors, if we're talking about changes and transitions, it was the majors who actually coined the sound, which we call popular music. Back when they were cutting their records, they were that's what they categorized them as. If I'm, you know, if I remember correctly, and they had it. They didn't have a doo-wop sound, so-called doo-wop. They didn't have a R&B sound, so they categorized them as as pop singers. And so they came, you know, they, I just wanted to say that to let you know that, you know, in your midst, you know, that you have living legends and people who helped transform the music business from one generation or one style to another. And Philadelphia, you know, they were the sound of Philadelphia before it was popular in the 70s, you know. With a couple other groups, you know, like the Dream Lovers, you know, was one of my favorite groups as well. But but to the effect of everything changing or vice versa, the difference is I think Brother Palmetto made a point when he was saying how you can take a CD and you can put a whole band on it, and it takes one person. And I just like to point out that the reason why the rap or hip hop industry, you know, continues to be the way it is that you can take a whole band and put it on a CD, and you can take one person and perform a show with it. Whereas back in the day, when you had to have a band, which you had to have musicians that understood music and knew how to play music, you know, thus. whenever you're able to cut out poor musicians from work and just pay one guy, you know, that's profit, you know. So, and that's why, you know, that's the reason I think that the industry has changed, and we can call it technology or we can, you know, we can classify it as anything else. But, again, the bottom line in any industry is always profitability, and I think it's what you know, that's what has that's what the ongoing conversation will be about now. You know, and it's really unfortunate because people who invest their time and practice music and learn how to read music and study it, and it becomes an art and a craft to them, the hours that they invest in it, when it comes time for a market for them to perform, there's no market there. You don't even have studio musicians anymore who used to make a living working in studios. So, you know, it's a sad state of affairs, but, you know, when you're not controlling industry, then you have to go with whatever is available. But, you know, I just want to, and the last thing I would like to say to Brother Ronnie and Frank Sr. is that, you know, I listen to all kind of music, and they're still playing Wonderful Dream and Time Will Tell. They're still playing it on different Internet stations regularly. So that was the point I wanted to make about good music being everlasting. And I'll leave it like that. Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah, that was really good. Yes, of course, with the whole thing as far as with the sampling and the good music always lives, that I think that really stuck with me for sure. Definitely that's always the case with that. You don't really have to do a whole lot to keep that music alive because the artist itself, the music itself speaks for itself. We can I think we have a caller on the line. Let's see, caller 267994. State your name.
Hey.
Where you're calling from.
Hey,
hi.
This is young Uncle O'Head calling from Rex, Georgia. I just want to make a comment on the show tonight and the guests that you have there, the Majors, Frank Sr. and Ronnie Gathers. Hey, man, I mean, these guys been in the music business all their life. And the one thing that I learned from listening to these cats was they always told me to know what you want out of the business because it's 90% business and 10% show. So if you understand the basic principles of business, then you'll understand that the business has not changed the way they make their money. So the only difference now is the artist that's out there making that money. So when you hear them sampling the old school stuff like the Majors and incorporated to electronic equipment, you know, it is easy for them to do that. In effect, it dumbs them down because you forgot that you have to learn how to play an instrument first, you know, not just program a machine. But it's all relevant to the subject matter where knowledge that you guys are sharing, your experiences, and how the similarity with that past experience relates to today. It just should let people know that understand that the business hasn't changed. Just understand where you fit in and understand you could be successful on any level in the music industry. Just know what your niche is. And on that note, I just want to say thanks for having me. I love listening to the show. You know, Hip Hop National Radio represents some of the finest in broadcasting. I listen to you guys, you know. I'm going to host the show myself, you know, soon in the future because that's on my to-do list or my bucket list. So I just say thanks for letting me, you know, talk to this your audience. And, you know, God bless all you brothers and continue the good work y'all doing up there. Hey, I hope to see the Majors somewhere soon.
Oh, thank you so much for your contributions tonight, for calling in. We appreciate that. We're going to begin the wind down, so I think we're going to go around and get our last thoughts for the night on the topic before we close out and go to Poetic. Let's go to Raw Dog. You have any ending thoughts for your final thought of the night?
Well, you know, I guess one thing, you know, we hit up on the sampling, we hit up on the elders, we've talked about the new hip-hop. Well, I'm a musician, and let me say this to you. The one thing that we didn't bring into this whole equation are the different personalities that are making the music or the makeup of the groups of now and before. You know, I had many groups. And personalities. So when you start talking about the new equipment and electronics, the one thing that I appreciate about that, I don't have to deal with the different egos.
I don't have to cater to the artists that are trying to participate in doing a product. That in itself can be a little bit taxing on the nerves because you have to. It's a funny thing about artists. There's a pampering of the ego that we all go through, okay, myself included. And, you know, so it's a point that with the new electronics and if you're a musician and sampling and what have you, you can create the same thing as if you had all those different personalities and that you had to deal with. And it's less taxing on me as an individual. But I'd like to say this was a great subject. There's no real answer to what or how it should evolve or what's right or what's wrong. I think it's we keep on creating. Let's all show the world the talent that each one of us possesses. And, you know, God bless each and one of us, every one of us, because guess what? Who knows? I'm not right. Maybe they're not right. And then we're, maybe we're all right. You know, and I guess that's how music is supposed to evolve, you know. So let's keep creating. All righty.
Thank you. Thank you for that. Yusuf, are you still on the line with us? Your last thoughts for the night?
Yes, I'm still here. I'm still here. It's just been an interesting conversation. And, you know, like I said, I like old school, you know, music. And the new school, you know, they're trying. I'm not gonna put them down. Some of the stuff, though, is just, you know, to me, music should have a message. And that's what it boils down to a message of a hope or liberation. It should have something to say to the audience, and you know, and that's to me, that's what makes it last long. That's what makes it enduring. And if it doesn't have a message, then you know, it has to say something to the people, to the masses. That's what I think. But other than that, like I said, it was a good show. I'm glad to been around so many good artists, and that's been in the business, and I enjoy listening to the show. And that's it.
Thank you, Yusuf. And Hatch, you have any last thoughts for us tonight, Hatch? You there, Hatch? Frank, are you there? You can go to Frank if Hatch isn't there. What were you saying, Frank? Poetic, are you there? Ronnie?
We had lost Hatch for a second. Hatch is back on.
Oh, okay.
So I'm going to give it back on to Hatch.
Hello?
Oh, okay. Great. Yeah, we can hear you now, Hatch. We got
all
you.
All right. I'm sorry. I'm up in Jersey, and we having thunderstorms up here, so that's probably what's knocking out my connection. But I know you get ready to wind down, so I just want to make it short. I've been listening in and hearing some of the conversation. Just want to say hello to everybody, Raw Dog, Uncle Frank, and Uncle Ron from the Majors. It's a blessing, and I just want to thank Hip Hop National Radio, because when I look on TV, you now got some artists up there that really deserve to be unsung, you know. I just want to add on to that saying, there's nothing that's been done that hasn't been done under the sun. And I'm old school. I'm just laughing at the technology. The only thing I say the difference between the day with technology and old school is, old school, you had to have skills, because we sample back in the day when we used to do tapes and sample, what we call it, what Raw Dog said a minute ago, we call it looping. What we had to do, we used to sweat from our brow, because you got one chance. You had to actually take a razor blade, and you had to play that section
that you wanted to loop, and you had to slice it and take it to another tape and continue to do that, and that's where they created sampling from. So we've been doing that way back. Like I said, there's nothing under the sun that they're doing now. I just want to say, last thing, I get out your way. I just want to say the only difference between old school and new school is you both today, you both have talents out there. You got a lot of talent out there today. But the difference between old school and new school, old school, you had to have talent. New school, you don't have to have talent. You know, I can get my niece to come up here and make a song now. You know, that's the only bad part now, is that you got people that's out there. I forgot what Raw Dog called it a minute ago. But, you know, they're not legit, but they're out there doing it. You know, there's a difference between a quality brother like Raw Dog or Frankie D that actually produces, play instruments, know the music, you know, and they take a sample and do it, than the person that's all the way they can create a music. And I just want to leave it at that. And love you, Majors, and being part of the show. God bless.
Thank you so much for that hat. All right, let's go to Poetic. Shoot it over to you.
I do. Forgive me for stepping on your toes just now, because I did come in a little bit too soon. All right, guys, we have to wind down. Our show is ending, actually. I wanted to tell you guys we are in the business to help you make music, make money, teach you how to take your music from the studio to the bank. We are a marketing and management firm to help you present a professional portfolio in front of the music industry inside circle of the music business. So definitely, y'all hit us up. Let's make this thing happen. Send in your music. Upload it now to hiphopnational.com. And so we can get you in on our DJ's playlist. You listen to Hip Hop National. Now over to you, Dr. AT.
Hey, this is Dr. AT doing a 30-minute in the mix tonight. For all you artists out there who want to hear your song on a Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday show, all you got to do is send your MP3 file to www.hiphopnationalradio.com. Now let's get this party cracking. The first song on our deck is Stitches, Cross the Finish Line.
Listen to that heartbeat, see the finish line is there. All you gotta do is reach. Consider this your graduation day. Press C, watch me.
From the bottom we rise. This is for my underdogs, don't give up. I know you feel like you can run through it sometimes. Just cross that finish line. From the bottom we rise. This is for my underdogs, don't give up. I know you feel like
no matter the reason I'm on it, took the time to write it. Cause if I didn't, my mind would be clouded. Some doubted, I seen it in their face, but it was my motivation. Had to learn to hold my tongue and never to be that gentleman. I've grown so grim, my life would terminate the parents. Like my vision almost got blurred when I almost followed Kane Brown. But now I'm on that vision, friend, that music call it banana business. You can hang on the leg, all I need is God's dream.
This is a Raw Dog production. I'm Dr. A.T., damn it.
I'm Dr. A.T., damn it.
Wonder if some program directors at the radio stations gon' show me some love and put me in rotation. Without having to dig deep into my pockets, I'm a hustler, but it still don't mean that I got it. I wonder if the streets gon' feel me, and if I get shining, I wonder if God gon' heal me. I wonder if I'ma die before I get rich, cause I'm chasing a dream. I wonder if my girl really love me and think the world love me and put nobody else above me. I wonder if I'm living a lie, and if I'm platinum flat, ain't nothing but mirages in the sky. I wonder if I'm realer than real, and in the heat of the moment, would I freeze it? I wonder if I'm writing my last 16, and if so, press rewind so you can see what I mean. I wonder. I wonder if God gon' punish me for trying to feed my family. This is real as it gets, G. A dollar sacrifice a million blacks for one Rhodes Scholar. I wonder if my kids know I love them to death, and I'ma stay on the grind till my very last breath. I wonder if we in heaven or hell, and if I get down on the block again hustling with they running tail. I wonder if we gotta sell our souls just to move a few units, ship platinum or gold. I wonder if they kill Cochran and Frank Mike, and if Hollywood picks the fire in against Spike. I wonder if my people's is cursed, and if not, why I feel so much pain in this one verse. I wonder if I'm destined to make it. I see opportunity that's at my front door and I'ma take it. I wonder if God gon' punish me for trying to feed my family. Raw talent in the industry for years, been settling for less. I wonder why the haters hate, and why you looking at my plate when I know that you done already ate. I wonder when I spit this flame, is the whole world gonna keep on asking me what's my name? I wonder if the gang gonna flip, and if the public don't wanna hear no more of this gangsta shit.
Step into the light, sunlight, where there's no weeds.
Sunlight Productions and Publishing, coming through your sound waves, all the way from Newark, New Jersey, to South Island, to Philly, all the way down to Atlanta, Georgia. bringing to you one of their featured groups, Frank and Hatch, Earth Stars recording artists, hitting you hard with their new release song, My Brother's Keeper, a created soundtrack, Making Promises, from their new CD entitled New Testament. Put your ears to your heart and request to hear it again and again. You're listening to My Brother's Keepers on
Hip Hop National Radio.
Said again,
official.
Said
again.
We work.
G Music Entertainment.
Yo, let's go.
Make it up on the floor, chillin' in the star day.